listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us here today for Get Yourself the Job. We're so happy to have you here as we've been on this exploration and journey of everything that you need to know from A to Z to land your dream job in 2021. If you've been with us on this journey, you might have joined us for some of the episodes, such as how to be effective at networking, how to write a great resume. We've done mock interviews and covered quite a variety of different topics thus far. And today we're going to be exploring innovative ways to get hired. What are some ways perhaps that you might be able to get hired that you haven't yet thought of? Now, before we go into that today, I do want to take a moment and thank our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary placement, executive search, and payrolling services. So without further ado, I'd love to invite everybody to think for yourself, and feel free, you can always comment in the comments section. We always love to interact with you wherever possible. You know, I'd love for us to explore what are some ways that you might be able to get hired aside from just applying to a job traditionally. So Brandon, what are your thoughts? What are some of your favorite ways that you like to recommend that job seekers might be able to get hired, that it might be different, a different way of approaching things?
Yeah, so there's a variety of ways to go about this. I think one of the best tips I have is, look, I think the most common way that I find people getting hired is network. Yeah, but it's never, I think what people always think is it's going to be my friend is going to get me the job. But it's actually not the friend, but the friend of the friend of the friend. It's like the third contact that's going to get you the job. And I want to acknowledge that we are going to have some sound issues today because of some wind stuff. So, at the end of the day, that is what I would recommend, is that it's never the first person you tell about that you're looking for work. It's that third person they refer you to that can often help.
Yeah, I think that even in today's society where we might not be seeing one another in person as frequently as we might see people, I think that there's still ways where the ways that we gather, whether it's for Zoom meetings, any sort of ways that we're connecting with other people, even on social media. I remember years ago when I first started talking on this topic, one of the things that I would often suggest to people is to post on Facebook as well as LinkedIn that you're looking for a position. In fact, many years ago, I remember I had a friend of mine who was really struggling to find a job. And that friend, I said, listen, what you would want to do is put in your post update, just wrapped up a project, I'm available now for new work, would love to connect. And you can do something as simple as a post like that on LinkedIn. You can also do it on Facebook, because if you think about it, Facebook is people you know, or people who you know closely or peripherally to the other close friends that you have. And I think a lot of times people unfortunately get really ashamed about sharing with people that they're not working. It depends on the situation. You know, if you're somebody who you're not working at the moment, there is nothing wrong with sharing on any of your social outlets and saying, hey, I need help. You know, what the one thing that all of us love to do is we love to help one another. We love to be of service. In fact, just the other day, I had a dear, dear friend of mine who has given me so much value. He has mentored me over the last 4 years and has just given to me in spades. And I finally had the opportunity to give and add value in a meaningful way to his life. And it gives so much more than you can ever imagine when you allow your friends, allow your colleagues, old colleagues, allow anybody you might know to contribute to you in a meaningful way. And so if you are looking and not working, maybe post on Facebook, hey, you know, I just wrapped up this job. My passion is X. If you know of anybody, and sometimes being specific can really help. You might even want to say, if you know of somebody who works at Mattel or Disney or O'Melveny and Myers, give specific asks for what you want, because sometimes people don't help you because they don't know how to help you. And so by being specific in what you're asking for, that's going to give people a greater opportunity to go, oh, I don't work at O'Melveny, but I know Jennifer who knows somebody who does. And that's going to allow people to support you in connecting dots.
Absolutely. You know, that's, and I like that you talked about add value or being the way you help a mentor of yours that you had talked to in the past. I think that's so important. We forget that the best way to show your value is to add value. The best way to get recommended by a job is frankly to show how you do your job. Now, that's a little weird. I'm not suggesting.
Brandon, we're having a little bit of trouble.
Do people's taxes.
Pause for 1 second. We're just having a little bit of trouble hearing you. So if you can just repeat what you just said, because it broke up in and out. I just want to be sure our audience can hear you. Oh, I think we can't hear you.
No, that's fine. I think with the high wind.
Oh, high wind today. Yeah, that makes sense. It happens. I totally get it. What were you saying? All right. While Brandon gets the computer sorted, you know, this happens. So you got to love it with technology. I love that we make the best of plans in life. And in fact, I was just sharing this on somebody else's show the other day. One of the greatest things that you can do in order to land your dream job is to honor yourself first and know what you're capable of giving or not. I gave an example of, there was a TEDx interview that I was invited to come and interview for in Prescott, Arizona. And I wanted it so badly, right? Like I'd always wanted to do a TED interview. It was a big deal to me. And so I was just like there and I flew into Prescott, Arizona and I was sick as a dog. I was like sniffling and congested and just miserable. And it was just no good for anybody. And you know what I did? I showed up to the interview, which was the worst idea ever. It was like, imagine bombing an interview. And this is the great thing too, is that sometimes it's only when we really bomb an interview or when we don't listen to ourselves or when we have technical issues or we get sick unexpectedly that we have the opportunity to learn the lesson from that. Like, what's the opportunity? And I know for me, when I went through that experience in Prescott, Arizona for the TED Talk, I was like, wow, if I would have waited and just paused and rescheduled the interview for a time when it was better, I probably would have left a better impact on the interviewers. They probably wouldn't have been exposed to whatever it was that I was unwell with at the time. And it would have created more of a win-win situation. So let's go back for a moment now to the topic at hand, which is how are some innovative ways to get hired, aside from waiting for perfect timing to make sure that you're feeling well and that you have everything you need. There's nothing wrong if you also have an interview and you're having technical issues. Some people might be okay with doing a phone interview instead, or maybe doing an interview without video. So there's always solutions and ways to work this out. So let's talk for a moment about one of my other favorite ways to get hired. Let's say that you are exploring a new career. Maybe you're a recent college graduate. Maybe you're transitioning into a new field, or maybe you've been in a field a long time. In fact, I've used this in all three scenarios for myself. Another thing that you can do is that you can write down ways or a book or a story or something that you want to write down. What I did is I said, I'm going to write a white paper in the case where I did it and I reached out to peers in the industry. So you can say that you're going to write a blog, a paper, a book, whatever the topic might be, and you can use that as leverage to reach out to people who might not otherwise speak to you. So I'll give you a situation in my case, what I did. So a couple of years ago, I was inspired to write a white paper on CEOs. And at the time, I actually wanted to break into CEO recruitment, which wasn't something I had done in the past. And so what I did is I said, how could I do that? Oh, I bet if I started interviewing CEOs, that would be a really great way to gain expertise in a field that I'm not currently an expert in. So I spent about 6 to 8 months and I interviewed CEOs of law firms. This was a newer thing for a long time. You know, you had just had a managing partner or a chairperson at a law firm. And it was only about 6 or 7 years ago that you started seeing the introduction of C-suite executives. So I went out one by one and I reached out to these executives who had, you know, I had no prior communication or relationship with. And I basically just said, hi, I was really impressed with your background. I would love to connect with you because I'm writing a white paper on the relationships between CEOs emerging in law firm and new leadership in law firms. And I probably made about 12 to 15 really incredible contacts that I would have never otherwise made. And the most astounding thing to me about all of this is that I actually wound up publishing a white paper on the topic. So it does two things for you. When you say that you're writing a paper or a blog or a book, whatever it might be, step number one is that what you can then do is you can use that paper, you can use that book, you can use that blog to set yourself up as an expert. So even though I was never an expert before with respect to executive leadership in law firms, specifically CEOs, I was then invited to speak the next year on the topic because I had done so much research on it. So it's a wonderful way to pioneer and get yourself out there. And I also highly recommend this technique to job seekers who are entering the workforce. Let's say that you're a recent grad and you have no experience in a particular field. You could, number one, say that you're writing a paper, a book, or a blog, or number two, you could ask for what's known as an informational interview. And it seems like something counterintuitive that why would somebody take their time and do an informational interview with you? Well, I will tell you, having done this for many, many years myself, 9 out of 10 times I will personally say yes to an informational interview because I want to help pay it forward to other people who may want to enter an industry that I'm in. And it can really give you a lot of insight because so often you think you have this idea of what your dream job is. However, it might not be something that you're as passionate about once you get there and start doing the job. So regardless of whether you try one of these methods, like for example, reaching out to people you don't know on LinkedIn and asking to have an informational interview or to have a general conversation with them, the other thing that you could equally do is that you could also reach out to people in your network. And so let's say that you want to be an attorney and you're just like, oh gosh, do I really want to though? Go out and before you ever set foot in a hospital or in med school, go interview at least 5 doctors. Heck, you could even ask your current doctor the next time you're going for a checkup or doing a telemedicine appointment, you know, what is it you love about your job? And, you know, can you tell me anything like what do you wish you would have known when you were in med school? When we ask questions and when we bring this essence of curiosity, it really helps us to make choices that are going to help us further our career in a positive way. So that's one of my favorite ways to innovatively look for a job is to do it that way. Another thing that you could do that is an innovative way to get hired also involves using LinkedIn. So what you could do is you could look up other people who work at your ideal company. So let's say you have your dream list. And by the way, if you haven't done this, this is one of my favorite techniques that I recommend to people who are out there job hunting. Make a list of your dream list of companies that you want to work for. Maybe it's 5, maybe it's 10 companies. I would recommend picking at least 3. What are at least the 3 companies that just light you up, that you believe in their brand, you believe in their values, and that it just feels in alignment? What I would do is that I would recommend writing these down and then researching who works at those companies. Now, number one, you could reach out to the people at the companies you ideally want to work for and do an informational interview, just kind of like what we were talking about. Or number two, you can also use that as a roadmap. Imagine looking at somebody else's LinkedIn profile and that person winds up being an executive at Disney. What were the 3 jobs they had prior to working at Disney? So then you can actually work your way backwards from that and go, wow, okay, that's really cool. I see that they started their career off at company A, then they moved to company B. And so what you can begin to do is Disney might be your target, but you can begin to roadmap what directions you want to go, where you want to be, and what you want to be doing. Yeah, so I think Brandon will hopefully be able to rejoin us here, but I know he was having some issues with the wind near his apartment, or rather through his house. And so just know that whatever happens, so funny, this is a perfect illustration of kind of how the day goes, is that no matter what happens, whether it's in an interview, whether you're on a Zoom meeting or whatever it might be, allow things to be the way they are. You know, one of the things that can throw us off so easily is just allowing ourselves to get kind of caught up and reactive in the moment. If your technology doesn't work, breathe. If you said the wrong thing, breathe. If you feel like, oh my gosh, you know, my dog is barking or my kids are making noise in the background, breathe. you know, the people who are able to deal with stress and deal with unexpected occurrences, no matter what happens, are 100 out of 100 times going to have better luck, you know, finding their ideal job. And Brandon, it looks like you're back with us. So this is fabulous. Wonderful.
All right. We'll see how we do. Let me know if I'm choppy. Sorry. I loved what you said, though. I've been listening, not talking, as I often do with you, which is one of my favorite things to do is to hear. That sounds like it was an insult. But it's not. It's to say that I love listening to watching your brain work, as I've said many times on the show. Some of the best trainings I ever did. The tech broke. My deck wouldn't show up. There was 3 people in the audience. There's supposed to be 30. Some of the best moments we can have in our careers are the happy accidents. It is so much not what you do with the situation, it's what you do to turn that situation. And if you can do that in an interview, by the way, one of the things you can do if an interview is running late and you can hold the space to be like, it's okay. They're automatically in your debt. But yeah, I can't tell you how many times I did a training at FICO World last year and my deck wouldn't work and there's 100, it was standing room only, 100 people looking at me, and I was like, just turn to your partner and do partner work. And by the time I got my presentation, everyone was so locked in that it was rated one of the best sessions of the weekend. And so I mentioned that to say I love that turning the opportunity into magic, and also a way for me not to feel bad. I have this joke with clients that the harder it is to connect, the better our call will be. I think that's a great thing. You know, if you're struggling to get an interview scheduled, say, hey, this probably means it's going to be worth the effort. Set yourself up for success. That's a unique lawyer trick.
Oh my God, Brandon. I so love that. That has been the essence of my last week. I don't know if anybody else has had this experience, whether you believe in Mercury retrograde or the tail end of that or not. It has been like an uphill like trudge trying to get meetings scheduled. And literally every meeting I had today was either canceled, rescheduled, or got moved around. And you just get to laugh, because I don't know about you guys, but when you're able to laugh about it and just be like, okay, you notice yourself getting angry and you can almost visualize yourself like one of those cartoon characters where you have like the red smoke coming out your ears, you could fry an egg on your head. And if you almost like allow it to be an exaggeration, like sometimes I'll even allow myself to exaggerate the upset, not necessarily while I'm on a Zoom call or in a TV interview or something, but I will go offline and go off stage and you will see me like a little 3-year-old girl going, ah! And you know, just allowing myself to self-express, because I guarantee you, if you don't get that energy out, whether it's shaking it out, dancing, doing some Amy Cuddy poses, it's going to come out one way or another. And at the end of the day, guys, breathe. I was having quite an experience of a day today, and I was on with one of my mentors just before this, and he spent, I kid you not, 10 minutes of our 20-minute coaching call helping me to just breathe. If we learn to breathe and allow that conscious, loving breath, then everything becomes possible. And no matter what stresses you might have, you don't have a job, you have a job you hate, whatever it is, there becomes more of a capacity to embrace and be with it, whatever that is. And here's the cool thing to tie it into today's topic. One of the most innovative ways to get hired is to be happy right where you are. To be happy whether you have a job, to be happy even if you have the job you don't want. But if you can be happy, no matter what the circumstances are, people are going to be drawn to you like a moth to the flame, and they're going to be knocking on your door because they want someone resilient like you to work with them.
Yeah. That's actually great advice in dating too. The second you do the focus on the work, it's amazing how the person appears. And you mentioned, you know, breathing and calming yourself. I have a sage mentor I've discovered in the last 2 years. And it's not an accident that in the last 2 years I've had a toddler, which is to say, when you feel so angry and you want to roar, you take a deep breath and you count to 4. And this mentor of mine is Daniel Tiger. And I've learned a lot from Daniel. I've learned a lot from my toddler. I've learned a lot from just having those moments of breath. But I also think injecting humor is a non sequitur, or levity. The more you are you, the more you're going to find the job that wants you. The less you're you, the more you're going to find maybe a job. But believe me, you're never, as I like to say, you're never going to win an Oscar. You're not going to be Pacino or Streep. So the point is, don't pretend. It's going to catch up to you on the back end. You might as well deal with it on the front. I think that breath is important. I think calming, I think you're right about confidence. It's why when you're prepping for an interview, please, please, please work on practicing the answer. Why are you leaving your company? Because oftentimes we're leaving because we are angry, because we are resentful, because we are upset. And it's okay to feel those things. And it's actually okay to bring those, some of that into an interview. But as we've talked about in the past, you don't want to spend your time going, oh, I'm leaving because you go, let me tell you what I'm going towards, why I'm here. Right? I'm going to start a third leadership summit for a company that I work with the CEO all the way across the senior leadership and down. And we're going to talk about culture. And one of the questions we're going to ask them is, why are you here and why now? I love that, why now? Why in your career now? One of the things that we talked about in 2020 was the year of the pivot, right? So many people are pivoting in their careers or leaving full-time jobs. That was another interesting stat of 2020. It is the most historically shown year where people started their own business. Now, I'd argue out of necessity, but mothers and, you know, what is it? Innovation is a mother of all necessity, is a mother of all innovation. That's, I got that. My brain is Mercury in retrograde, apparently. But I think that all that's important. Lastly, this is a non sequitur. If you ever find yourself unemployed, God forbid, go to the movies, go to the museum, go to the hike in nature. Just go. You're not sitting behind your computer and wait. That's what I did when I moved to Los Angeles unemployed. I'd stare at my computer every morning. And you know what did? It depressed me. The day I discovered Griffith Park or the Duck Pond or what, or the magic of you know, basically everyone in LA not having a job, the happier I became. Sorry, that was it. That was my...
That was perfect. There were a couple of other inspirations that I had while you were talking, Brandon, of other ways that people could innovate, you know, to find your job, whatever it is. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, Brandon. When you're faced with an obstacle, take care of yourself. Here's the thing. Life is going to take care of you, but first you got to take care of yourself. And again, that makes you more desirable. When you're taking care of anything you need, you automatically kind of have this bright, shiny light all around you that people want to connect and plug into. So a couple of other things that you could do that I would encourage you to do is to set aside time each week. Let's say you're actively wanting something new. Maybe you're working, maybe you're not working. If you're working, I invite you to save an hour of 20-minute meetings, three or more 20-minute meetings with new people. I don't care how you do it. It could be a meetup group on Zoom. You could join a new group of some sort. You could do it on Facebook, on a Facebook Live. You could hop on Clubhouse. But I invite you to connect with three people while you're working every week for 20 minutes in a way where you're developing a rapport with them. And if you're not working, I'm going to challenge that quota. I'm going to challenge you to meet 10 new people a week. Now, for those of you who might not be familiar with Clubhouse, I personally hop on it here and there, meeting wonderful, incredible new people every week that's expanding me. I've already connected with them in meaningful ways. And it can be very, very helpful to meet people outside of your normal network, because sometimes you feel like you've squeezed all the juice of your current network, right? Maybe you're somebody and you change jobs every year, 2 years. Nothing wrong with that. But maybe if you're going to your team, they're like, oh, well, I introduced you to this or that company. It doesn't hurt to expand your circle. 80% of jobs are found through word of mouth. And the second thing that occurred to me as you were speaking, Brandon, and that I would love to offer to everybody is offer to help in whatever situation that you find yourself in. If you find yourself in a Facebook group, if you find yourself on an Insta Live or whatever it might be, any situation that you find yourself connecting with people in person, if you're in a place in the world where you can do that, or perhaps it's online, find ways to help people, because I guarantee you there are people who I met 10 years ago who I offered to help who are in my periphery and network now. And it's just amazing the way that we come together and find ways to collaborate 10 years later. You never know where that, like years ago, I was connecting. Just the other day, about 2 years ago, I met a venture capitalist. I didn't know what a venture capitalist was, nor did I know anything about the startup world, nor did I need to, because I had never needed funding for my old company. However, I'm now on the path of entrepreneurship again, and I'm building a new company and studying up about VCs. So thank God I had this amazing gentleman who offered to mentor me, who's a VC from 2 years ago, just spent a half hour on the phone with me yesterday and added more value than I could ever ask for. So never doubt that connection that you made over a year or 2 years ago, and keep those relationships fresh.
keep those relationships warm. Absolutely. I mean, a note here and there, that's such a good point, Jennifer, that you made there, you know, drop. I know you wanted to know that you probably kept it loose, you know, like every 6 months checking in. That is really important too. Just because you haven't talked to someone in a year doesn't mean you shouldn't just send them a note. Always keeping those, especially if you think you're going to go looking for the next job. And by the way, this works internally. If you work at a large company, let's say like a Microsoft or a Google or any other global entity that are out there, most of the companies, a lot of them I work with, have 50,000 employees. You know what? You might have met someone in, you know, in Brazil. And if you want to be in Latin America, go reach out to that contact in that company in Brazil, right? I mean, at certain companies, people don't know each other on a different floor. Point is, if you want to move somewhere in an organization, reach out to your contacts there. It doesn't have to be so esoteric. The other thing that is so important, I love that idea of helping, right? For every one client I get, I probably talk to 5 or 10 people for free, give away free coaching all the time. I don't mind. I actually love it. I still can't believe I get paid for it. I'd give away free legal advice. I just didn't enjoy it as much. But I've always helped. I think that's the nature of it. I learned that from my grandfather. My father built an entire law practice on the purpose of giving and service. Now there are people who give too much. There's people who are people pleasers. That's different. You don't want it, right? I always say there's a difference between being nice and kind. Kind is, I'm going to put my hand up. Now it's time to pay me for my services. Nice is, I'm going to let you walk all over me forever and it's okay. and also, by the way, people value what they pay for. It's just, we're human conditioned. I just got an invite to this thing called, I don't know anything about it, but Lunch Club, which is, they set you up for like lunch once a week with someone. I've had two people refer this to me. So anytime if a third person does, I'm going to have to do it. You know, fun fact, I'm a total extrovert. And I don't like cold connection. I only like warm connection. And so the idea of Lunch Club freaks me out because it's like someone I don't know. Thank God, however I got out of this being how old I am, I never had to do dating through the internet. You know, I always did it the old fashioned way until I met my wife. But I think it would have been painful for me. I just don't enjoy that. Point is though, I'm reading a good book called Eat That Frog. And I really do recommend the book. It goes off like any of these self-help books, okay? My theory on them is it's like 80% okay, 10% pretty good, and then 10%, oh my God, you blew my mind. That's it. I need to run my life. That's how I take most of these, except for think of the one. Untamed is very good, just beginning to end. Yep, right? High fives. Yeah, it's just so good. She's so good.
I love Glenn that. Dora, right? Glenn Dora. Fantastic winning. We need to have her on the show.
Yeah, please. That would be amazing. I'd talk to Glenn Doyle all day. We can get, let's do a Glenn Doyle episode just without Glenn Doyle.
Yeah, we can just talk about the book.
Yeah, but she actually has brilliant career insights. But Eat That Frog talks about focusing on that one area. I tend to focus on people's strengths, not weaknesses, but focusing on an area in your career where maybe you do feel weak, that's limiting, that if you fixed it tomorrow or worked on it tomorrow, it would help you build 10X. And I do think there's something to that, is acknowledging where you can improve. And I do think Brandon's school thought of acknowledging where you're never going to improve, right? It's okay. Find jobs that promote mostly your strengths, but find the areas that maybe you're avoiding. And I love this insight that they give, avoid because you failed in it in the past. I do that a lot in my historical life. I failed in something previously, so I avoid it like the plague, even though it's something I truly love, I want to do more of in the future.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's not, total side note, Brandon, but I was just doing another interview recently with a very famous thought leader and scientist named Dr. John DeMartini. And he told me something that I had never actually heard of or thought of before. He said a really great exercise for any human being, job hunting, just for your own self and personal development, is to make a list of the 10 people you admire most in the world and the 10 people who trigger you the most in the world. And then what you want to do, starting with the people who you admire most, is a look for the attributes that you have that you are seeing in those people. And he said, what's really remarkable is that when you do this, you'll notice that you start to embrace and allow yourself to step onto that same plane. Often we see people as better than us or worse than us. And when we start to even things out, he was saying with the people who trigger us, for example, look for the occasions in your life where you've perhaps done the thing that the person did that's triggering you. And when you do that, all of a sudden you become neutral and you become a much more well-rounded human being. And I say that, Brandon, because you were talking about the things that you suck at or that you're weak at. And I think it's just an opportunity for growth. Is like, if we're noticing that we're not good at it, I'm sure that there's someone somewhere out there where we actually have all of these capacities in us, but at some point somebody told us you're not good at this, or we feel like we failed. So how do you transform that by doing an exercise, like, for example, Dr. DeMartini's exercise?
Well, I think it's, I mean, I just did a post on bullies. You know, I hated writing for years. I used to love writing when I was younger, hated it after law school because it's very boxed in writing, and I've never been good at it. And now falling in love writing again, but I just did one on bullies. And one thing bullies are very good at is picking out the places where you, not only are you weak, but you're insecure about that weakness. That's what bullies do. They need to make themselves feel better. They can't pick on you for the thing that you're good at. They know they're not going to win there. They're going to find that thing that maybe you think bad about, and they're going to exploit that, and they'll go, see, I'm better. I had that from a client recently, talked to two people, and he said, Brandon, with you, you focus on people's strengths, and then you step back and you watch those strengths soar. The person I just talked to focuses on people's insecurities and highlights those so that they can feel stronger, right? That's a bully. That I'm going to focus on your insecurities and make my feel stronger. And now, what I tend to do is I focus on your strengths, and then I go, now let's look at your insecurities. Are they as bad as you think they are? No, so let's now bring them up. That's kind of the Brandon school of thought. We had me and Gurian, who we had on the show, had my first podcast. Funny enough, later next week, actually. Next week, we're going to have our first ever, the first ever guest I ever had on a podcast. Unmasking Your Fear was the first podcast I ever did, or radio show, whatever you want to call it. And we, in that series, had someone whose trigger was their father, who was the ultimate narcissist, who took and took and took and took and took until the day they died. And this individual was this brilliant artist and creative. And at one point in their life, towards their 30s, they started withering, literally. And I don't just say that. In every sense of the word, their relationships fell apart, their careers fell apart, but their bodies started shutting down. And no doctor could figure out what's going on. They went to all the doctors, all the Mayo clinics, everything. No one could figure it out. And they had a confrontation with their father where they said, I'm sick of you running my life. And every day after that, they started getting healthier. And they realized that in their desire never to be a narcissist, they became the person who gave everything away and they took nothing in. And the day they realized, and this is this really strong, amazing man, lives in San Francisco, has this beautiful, incredible apartment, lives this great life. But the difference was that they spent so much life trying not to be something that they gave all that part of them away. And unfortunately, narcissism, if you give all it away, then you have nothing left for yourself, right? So I thought that was a really powerful example. That's coming up a lot in my themes these days. You have to believe, you have to take care of this house, then the immediate house, your family, your friends, whomever. Then you can take care of them.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things that Deepak Chopra said. I host a series with him on Awake TV and Don Hoffman. And Deepak was talking about, you know, the ecology of the world and the environment. And he said, listen, Jennifer, he said, if enough people healed their own biology and healed their own bodies, and you hit critical mass and you had enough people do that, the entire world would simultaneously heal. And so that's kind of what you're saying, Brandon, is like, if enough of us did work on ourselves and we accepted ourselves and we honored ourselves and did the work that you mentioned your friend did, that would then give us all access to, boom, there would be a mass consciousness shift in the world. And so it starts with you. I mean, that's the thing. If we're seeing something out there in the world, don't point the finger and go, you suck. Say, oh, and in fact, Dr. DeMartini shared this as well. He said, listen, somebody who's newer on the path of enlightenment says, blames other people. Somebody who's a little bit more elevated blames themselves. And then the highest level of person blames no one and just realizes that it's the path that they're on because it's the path they're on.
Yeah, And I think that sometimes, you know, you never know where that path is going to take you. And this is, we're going to have Mike talk about this next week, but you know, wherever you are right now, if it's not where you want to be and you can't get out of it, use it. Use it. Use it as, I call it the gym. Use it as a science lab. Use it to build the career you want to have. Just because you're stuck doesn't mean you're stuck. It doesn't mean you're not growing. Use wherever you are now. If you're in a career and you can't leave it, or in a job you can't go, or most importantly, if you got a toxic boss, God forbid, don't let their toxicity be ingested in you. It's very hard to do. It's almost impossible to do. As a quote from COVID time says, it is impossible to get healthy in the environment that made you sick. I don't believe in impossibility, so I will say it is so hard to do to get healthy. You can by doing what Jennifer said, what Deepak said, cleansing your house. A cleansed house does not stand for toxicity. One thing I want to quote here, Jennifer, that I found the other day, and I'm just digging this quote. The size of your dreams must always exceed your current capacity to achieve them. If your dreams do not scare you, they are not big enough. That is it. It is, you should always be in growth. You should always in your career be stretching. You should always, I had a friend of mine in LA, one of my coaches and gurus and best friends and brilliant man. He works at Disney Plus now. I once said to him, I said, I just want to have the answers. This was, I think, even before I was a coach. I just want to figure it all out. I just want to do what I'm meant to be doing. And he goes, I hope you never do what you're meant to do. And I was like, thanks a lot. And he said, no, because then you'd be done. Still the best. It hit me like, I never want to be done. And as a husband, as a father, as a friend, I never want to stop growing, because if I stop growing, I'm done. And I think we do that in our careers. We forget that growth, that which scares us, that uncomfortability. Things I learned in spin class in West Hollywood. Uncomfortability is our friend. Pain is not. It's not painful to be uncomfortable, to do what scares us. It is necessary. And in our careers and our lives.
Yeah, and sometimes it feels like breaking down. Like if you look at going to the gym, for example, first something has to break down. First, your muscle has to break down in order for it to rebuild stronger. And so sometimes what in our lives can feel like complete disintegration, where we lose our job, we go through a divorce or a hard breakup or whatever it is. And what we don't realize is life is happening for us, and that this disintegration is only so that we can grow back 10 times stronger. But first we had to go through the breakdown to get to the breakthrough. And the same is true of our careers, is what we're talking about today. Yes, we're talking about innovating and different ways to find jobs. And notice that this is not just the physicality of how to find jobs. It's the mental, it's the psychology of how to innovate to find jobs psychologically, as well as physically going out there and doing the networking and doing those things. Because really the two things are beautifully intertwined.
Yeah, and we can nerd out. I always like a good metaphor. But one of the interesting things about muscles is not only do muscles need to break down, if you do the same exercise enough, they won't grow anymore. They'll go, I know what you're doing here. I'm not going to grow. I'm done. I'm out. And then you have to trick it and do a slight twist. You know, almost every – I don't work out that much anymore, but when I did, it was everything came with a twist or a twist or a twist. Why? Because it just wanted to trick the muscle into growing again. That is so good in our careers. Do those little twists. Do the new way. Hey, you don't have to do, guys in New Jersey, God bless them. Like every day was bye day and pec day, you know, but they all walked around like chicken's legs, you know, not everyone, but this is what happens when you go to college in New Jersey. But the thing about it is, you got to work your whole body, but you also need to constantly tweak and twist and trick. That's the key to growth in a career. And then, God help you, if you're going to find your dream job, I hope it's something just a little different, with a little twist, a little something more that makes you grow, that makes you stretch. And you know what? Here's how you get the dream job. You find the company where you can help them twist and then tweak and then grow. You need to find a place where your skill set, your expertise, your unique value proposition is going to help that organization grow. Don't just think about where you're going to grow. Think, go out, look at companies and go, I want to help them. I know what they're trying to do there. Find a leader you admire and say, I want to help them. Whatever it is, find the people that you want to help grow, and you will never be bored a day in your life, at least in your career.
Yeah, great advice. And same thing, like what we're talking about is when we're talking about growth, be willing to receive new ways to go for jobs or to go for anything. And with regards to a couple of final ideas that I had today to share with everybody as far as innovative things per se that you could do to get hired, one is a lot of people don't realize this, but companies love to hire other good companies. Companies love to hire people like the people who they already love at their company. So you may not realize this, but a lot of companies, number one, offer a great referral bonus. So if you have friends at your current company and you want other people there, you might be able to get paid for that, and vice versa. If you have friends who work at your dream company, that's where you might be able to reach out to them and create these beautiful win-win scenarios for people. Which leads to my second point of recruiters. Recruiters can be your best asset. Now, they do a very specific thing. It's important to understand what recruiters do and what recruiters don't do. What recruiters do is that they help law firms, organizations, companies fill a very specific need. So the organization says, we have XYZ need, and then they're supposed to go out and find it. So if you have a very specific background, you might be an engineer, you might be an attorney, there's a good likelihood that a recruiter out there doesn't cost you anything. Companies have this built into their budget, and a recruiter's job is to support you, to facilitate things, to align you. So good recruiters can be your best ally and best resource when it comes to job hunting. And ask your friends for referrals. You know, great recruiters out there, you know, there might not be as many good ones as sometimes, like in any business, there can be good or bad of people who do what they do. But if you ask for referrals, that's a great way to do it, or look for highly rated recruiters. I think that's another option that we could go.
And I have I've said this 100 times, but you know, being a recruiter, I always like to say, we're like dogs and cats. If you feed us once, you'll never get rid of us. And the reason is because people are rude to salespeople. People are rude to recruiters. People are rude. And if you're kind of the people that DMV, if you're kind of the person at the DMV, watch if they don't pull you out of line and go, hey, can you, you know, it's amazing what a smile can do for people who are getting frowned at all day. Recruiters though are in the business of searching and sourcing. So one of my favorite things to say to a recruiter is this: if you're not interested in a job, don't say no. Say, I'm not interested right now. If there's a dream job you have that scares you out there, let's say you're a VP and you want to be a C-suite, say I want to be the chief strategy officer, not the VP of strategy. But two, you follow up with, I have a huge Rolodex and I actually might know someone in this job, so keep me in mind. If you really want to get a recruiter to keep you in mind anytime you call them in the future, though, I'm actually going to reach out to that person, tell them about this job, and connect you. Like, go the one step, go the extra step for people who are out there who can help you. Because the best thing about recruiters, friends, you know what they are? They're information. And information is power in your search. The more information you have, the more likely you are to find a job. The more help you give, the more help you'll get. And finally, please, 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 if you take no other tip away, ask for help with resumes, with LinkedIn, with interview skills. Ask for help on finding a job. Help is not a dirty word. It's a necessary word. And I make an admission in my life to help the helper. So if you're a helper, reach out to me or Jennifer, and we'll help you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Brandon. Great advice. And on that note, we invite you to email us at getyourselfthejob@gmail.com. If you have questions, thoughts, we would love to hear your comments and feedback on this or any of the shows that we've done. We also have a Get Yourself the Job YouTube channel in case it's easier for you to find and you want to see these videos afterwards. Of course, they're available on Facebook, or you can also find us on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and many different other places. And, you know, we just invite you. We'd love to hear your comments, your feedback. Please do rate us. Rating us definitely helps us to get the show out there. So we appreciate all of the wonderful ratings and comments and feedback we've already received thus far. And we're just so grateful that you've been here with us. And soon we're going to be closing out this, you know, special 10-week series that we've been doing on everything you need to know from A to Z on how to get a job. So we invite you to join us next week. We're going to be doing a special episode on how to leave and exit a job gracefully so that you leave on good terms, and what that means, and when to know, most importantly, when is the right time to leave your next job. So Brandon, any closing thoughts from you, my friend?
No, I'm just happy I had tech issues because this is my official favorite background. So I think that I'm going to be doing this. Yeah, it's a painting I had commissioned from LA. on behalf of my wife from the woods we now live in. And my point is this, you never know where you're going to wind up. So keep dreaming big and finding new settings to make yourself thrive. So thanks for helping me find a new setting, Jennifer. I like
it. Guys, thank you so much for being here with us and wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.